Off the Ball,
GAA. Just getting silverware, and they are, at the moment, they are the standout team in Division 1. Like, to be fair, when they started last year as well, I was loving watching them. Everything is high octane, pace, slick hands, moving.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Carla Ward names her Ireland squad for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers. We look ahead to tonight's Champions League action as Jose Mourinho's Benfica lock horns with Real Madrid once again. Keith Andrews' Brentford avoid an FA Cup upset, and Frank Lampard's Coventry record a big win over fellow promotion chasers Middlesbrough. But first today, Carla Ward has named her squad for the World Cup qualifiers that come to France and away to the Netherlands next month. The Ireland boss has selected a squad of 23 players. Courtney Brosnan, Megan Connolly and Leanne Kiernan are all back after they missed the Nations League playoff win over Belgium last October due to injury. Heather Payne misses out despite returning to action with Leicester last weekend after recovering from an Achilles problem. Ireland's first game of the campaign is against France at Tallaght Stadium on the 3rd of March. 4 days after that, then, it's an away match against the Netherlands. And Carla Ward spoke to the media in Abbottstown earlier on.
Let's be really honest, if France and Netherlands is a World Cup final, we're all thinking it's a very good final, aren't we? Because they're going to be two teams that, in my opinion, are favourites going into... You would imagine that they make the World Cup. I think that you'd imagine both of them to be at the latter stages, if not trying to win it. So we're under no illusion. Look, let's be really honest, we're the underdogs. It's an Irish mentality that, you know, the nation loves. We thrive off that. You know, playing against the very, very best, competing against the very best, I think it puts us in a position to see where we are and challenge. And look, I've been at clubs and now here where we have to get the one percenters everywhere because we are coming up against some really strong competition. But look, we'll relish that and we'll look forward to it.
Real Madrid and PSG are both in action tonight in the Champions League playoff round, just 19 days after Anthony Trubin's 98th minute header sent Benfica into the playoff round on goal difference at the expense of Marseille. The two-time European champions meet Real again in Lisbon. Benfica finished 24th to take the last place for the playoff round. Madrid finished in 9th, one place and 1 point outside the automatic qualification spots for the last 16. Alvaro Arbeloa will have to do without Rodrigo and Jude Bell due to injury and suspension. There's an all-French clash in Monaco this evening. The team from the Principality take on holders PSG, who won 10-0 over two legs against another French side, Brest, in the playoff round last season before they went on to win the trophy. Borussia Dortmund take on Atalanta in their playoff tie in Germany tonight. Dortmund have just one win from their last seven Champions League games against Italian sides. They've drawn three and lost three. All those games I mentioned kick off at 8 o'clock. First up at 5:45, Galatasaray are at home to Juventus. Luciano Spalletti's Juve side were controversially beaten by rivals Inter at the San Siro over the weekend. Troy Parrott scored another goal for AZ Alkmaar last Saturday, his 12th league goal of the season. It came away to his former club Excelsior in injury time, and AZ went on to score a few minutes later to move back into the top six in the Eredivisie. Former Ireland international Kevin Kilbane joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night, and like every other football fan from Ireland at the moment, he says he's keeping a close eye on Parrott's exploits.
I'd be like you, I'm taking it all in, whether I'm on Twitter or whether I'm on Instagram and I'm seeing a Troy Parrott goal or a Troy Parrott assist. I'm taking it all in. I'm milking it for all it's worth because, look, he's done remarkable things in the last year with club and country. And I think that he's been heavily linked, hasn't he, with the return to the Premier League. I've seen Everton this season. I've seen Leeds this season. I've seen various teams. And that would naturally, you'd naturally think he's going to be the next step for him. But that might not necessarily be the case. I'm sure that he's enjoying himself away from, I wouldn't say the limelight because he's so high profile for us now, but I think he's probably enjoying himself playing in Holland and he's found his feet, he's found himself. And I've not read the piece, but I've seen quotes from it, from what he was saying on where he said, look, I was a young player at Tottenham, I felt as though that I should have been playing, I was maybe believing the hype a little bit as well. And we build our players up in Ireland especially that a lot of the casual football fans would know of a 14 or a 15-year-old that's progressing and doing well, whether that's in the League of Ireland or whether they're over in England and they're Irish eligible. You know, we know all about these players now because of, you know, the rightly or wrongly, the platform that we're giving our players is great. I think we boost them up and we build them up, but that can be a deterrent to the player's development. It really can. And I think Troy Parrott is the prime example of that. I knew of Troy Parrott when he was about 14, even maybe younger than that, to be honest with you. I heard this name coming out of Dublin that this kid is sensational. When he signs for Spurs and, you know, he's scoring goals in the Champions League youth structure. I can't remember what it's actually called. He's scoring goals in the youth structure at Tottenham, and of course then within at second tier level. Then he's been pushed forward to make his first team debut, and you're all looking at him, and it's such a big step from youth football into first team football beyond, especially Premier League level. So he's had to go away and find himself, and he's had to learn. He's had to maybe even focus on himself mentally in certain ways as well. I don't think he can be more proud of himself or what he's achieved in leaving English football and going away to somewhere that would have been alien to him and proving himself at the level he's proved himself at an international level. He's one of our true success stories. That's the way that I would look at Owen. And if he goes back and plays in England, good luck to him. But he doesn't necessarily even have to take that step. If he went to Serie A or Bundesliga or wherever, that might be a great step for him to take next. And I think that'll help his development just as much as returning to the Premier League.
If you want to hear more of that conversation, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed.
Pegó en la mano del hombre argentino, se está habilitado el hombre italiano que ingresa, elude al arquero, viene el empate, ¡gol!
This week on Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, how a Danish wonder kid nearly ended up at Liverpool, and how the team of the 80s could have won even more. Michael Ledger's proposed move to Merseyside could have altered the European football landscape. But why did the deal ultimately collapse? Find out on this week's Sliding Doors. Subscribe now in your OTB Football podcast to not miss an episode. Coming to you for free each and every Monday.
Last night, non-league Macclesfield's fairy tale run in the FA Cup came to an end. They were beaten 1-0 at home to Brentford. The only goal of the game was an own goal by Sam Heathcote in the second half. Brentford boss Keith Andrews admits the Premier League side didn't have it all their own way.
A lot of respect for the way they play. The spirit they have, I think, is very impressive. It was never going to be easy. I didn't think we made it easy for ourselves in the first half. In the second half, I thought we did it very well.
Macclesfield manager John Rooney, brother of Wayne, says there's plenty for him to be pleased about despite the loss.
For the club at our level to go toe-to-toe with two Premier League sides, you know, we've lost today by an own goal when we had 10 men on the pitch when we turned to make that substitution. And, you know, but it's football, it can be cruel at times, but, you know, I couldn't be any more prouder of them lads tonight. To go and go toe-to-toe with a Premier League side for two games is incredible.
Brentford will now be away to West Ham in one of three all Premier League ties in the fifth round. Newcastle will have home advantage against Manchester City, who beat Eddie Howe's side in the semi-finals of the League Cup this season. Liverpool have been drawn away to Wolves. Elsewhere, League One Mansfield's reward for beating Burnley over the weekend is a home tie against Premier League leaders Arsenal. Wrexham will host Chelsea. Leeds boss Daniel Farke will go up against his former side Norwich. Fulham take on Southampton, and Sunderland will play either Port Vale or Bristol City. Hadji Wright's hat-trick earned Coventry a 3-1 win over Championship promotion rivals Middlesbrough. The win moved Frank Lampard's side top of the league, 1 point above Borough. The Coventry boss says his team delivered a perfect display.
The performance, the effort, the way we played off the ball, we worked all week off the ball because I felt it was an important thing for us to get back in our game. And the lads just followed that brilliantly and then, yeah, really, really delighted with the result. Big one for us tonight.
Lampard says he's expecting a real battle for promotion to the Premier League.
When they play like that, the lads, and when they're together like that, then we can do a lot. We've showed that this season already, but there's 14 more of these. So I think it's important to stay humble about it and realise what the lads put into that game. Train well, recover well, train well, recover well, and push, because there's going to be a lot of stuff to come still.
Ivan Toney says he's still dreaming of a place in England's World Cup squad. The Al Ahly striker scored 30 goals in all competitions in his first season in Saudi Arabia. Toney's made one appearance under Thomas Tuchel, and it was a brief two-minute cameo against Senegal last summer. He says he still hopes to be in the German's thoughts ahead of the squad selection.
All I can do is keep scoring goals. Yeah, it'll be a big dream to play at the World Cup. I mean, it's probably, let's say, my last chance to play at World Cup, let's say, but it's whatever's best for the country. The coach will pick the team, and we have to respect that, you know, and hopefully that gives me the best chance of being there.
Ireland under 17 international Vinny Leonard will leave Dundalk this summer to sign for Norwich for an undisclosed fee. Leonard will stay with Dundalk until the opening of the UK transfer window in July. The 17-year-old made his league debut for Dundalk in October 2024. He came off the bench in last week's 2-2 draw away to Derry City. Leonard also played for Ireland in the Under-17s World Cup in Qatar last year. Ireland striker Michael Obafemi has been ruled out for the rest of the season. He has to have surgery on an ankle injury he sustained in Blackpool's loss to Plymouth at the weekend. Obafemi joined the League One club on loan from Burnley in January. Kevin Kilbane is someone with experience of games against Israel. He famously had a falling out with Israeli goalkeeper Dudu Oate in the qualifiers for the 2006 World Cup when Brian Kerr was in charge. And he explained the situation here to Owen Sheehan.
I'm not sure if you saw this, but it was a photo of you playing against Israel in Lansdowne Road in qualifiers for the 2006 World Cup that came up. Can you guess what the photograph was of, Kev? Can you guess which flashpoint from that game might have popped up?
I think I saw it. I think it's the goalie, wasn't it? It was me and the goalie from that game, wasn't
Dudu
it? Yes. I remember it well. Remember it well, honestly, because I that was a killer game for us. Those two Israel games ultimately cost us a place at, what was it, Owen? What was the year? 2006 yep. World Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's what ultimately cost us the place at that World Cup, because we should have taken probably 6 points from both games and we ended up with two. And 2-0 up, particularly in the home game, we were 2-0 up early. We were playing well. I think Robbie Keane got injured in the game, actually, and went off. And it just threw us all, I think, really. And look, I can look at excuses across the course of my career. I don't think we qualified for enough tournaments while I was playing international football, and it's a huge regret. But those Israel games in particular, I always remember that keeper and the play acting, and it was very much around that sort of time as well, where it wasn't the norm, play acting. It was there, of course it was, but you didn't see it as so much in your face. That game in particular, the time wasting, the play acting, anytime anyone touched him, rolling around the floor, trying to get our players sent off. I just remember it just being, it was one of those games where you look back on and you think, Jesus, if we'd have just maybe better managed that game over periods of time, we would have won that game easily, and we would have probably beat them over in Israel as well if we hadn't have managed those games better. So, big regret, Owen, from the two games. Absolutely, yeah.
What was the thing that sparked the confrontation between yourself and Dudu Awad? Like, you mentioned the time wasting there.
Yeah, it was overall. I just remember every time one of our guys went near him, he was going down holding his face. He was rolling around. Any chance he got to kill time, but also the fact is he was trying to get our boys sent off as well. So I think it was just me and him having a little bit of a pop, and just me just trying to tell him, look, get up or you'll get a slap or something like that. I think that's how it was, Owen. Something along those sort of lines. I might have said it a little bit different from that to him, yeah.
Granted, it was over 20 years ago, but what was it like playing in Tel Aviv?
I remember high security even around that. I think we had the Israeli Secret Service with guns in the pockets. They were looking after us when they were showing us to training grounds and things like that. You know, it was a little bit like that when we went in. And there was very few times that we experienced that when we travelled. I remember going to Georgia where we had a little bit of security. Obviously, Iran, we had high security when we went there. But there was very few times that we travelled and we had high security around the team. But that was one occasion when we actually did.
Ben Symes also joined Owen on last night's football show and rounded up all the action from the League of Ireland over the weekend, and following Colm Whelan's hat-trick for Bowes in their 4-0 win away to Sligo Rovers on Saturday night, Ben explains why he is one to keep an eye on this season.
This is Colm Whelan's night. It's his third hat-trick since joining Bohemians at the start of the 2025 season. And I mean, some people might hear the name Colin Whelan, and if you haven't been too clued in, you think back a couple of years ago. So Colin Whelan is from Kilkenny, played his football at Waterford growing up. He only played once or twice for Waterford seniors, and then he got a move to UCD, where he really shone through in the first division with UCD up top. He was only 19 leading the line for UCD. He had 33 goals in 43 games in the first division. He was meant to go abroad. He was going to go to England. Lincoln, I think, were the club that really people thought he was going to go to. But in one of his last, scheduled to be one of his last games in May of 2022, he ruptured his ACL.
Okay.
And he missed 11 months. However, his form was so good before that, Derry City brought him in the door while he was still injured. He came back, had two games for Derry, scored two goals in his open two games. And unfortunately, just 12 months after the first ACL rupture, ruptured his ACL again. So he missed a further 11 months of action. He only ended up playing about 14 games for Derry across two seasons. He left there to start the 2025 season and went to Bohemians. He had a hat-trick against Waterford, his old club, of course, in March of last year. He scored another hat-trick against Cluster Donnycarney in the FAI Cup. And now this hat-trick here on Saturday night means it's three hat-tricks in the space of, well, just under a year for Colin Whelan at Bohemians. And when he plays in that two-striker formation with Douglas James-Taylor, who only came in last summer, he'd been a lone Drogheda. And before last Saturday, Douglas James-Taylor had five goals in eight games for Bohemians. If they can keep Colin Whelan and him fit up top together, they're going to pose threats to any defence that they come up against this season.
Pretty potent attack. So he's only 25 years of age, mm-hmm. Colin Whelan. So I guess last season was getting back in the pitch, getting minutes into his legs, and this is when you'd expect him to really try and get back to his best, or finally sort of show the potential that people know is attached to him over the past couple of seasons.
And if you want to hear that or any of our League of Ireland coverage, including the LOI pod, you can do so for free in your OTB football podcast feed. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.